AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Do I want to introduce the place?
Yeah, here we are.
Not as much to talk about yet, but we're here at Raleigh Game Show at Falls Village Shopping Center in Raleigh. Grand opening party on Saturday, November 8th. We'll be recording here from now on, which is pretty cool. We have our own, like, real spot that will, at some point, this is day one for us to get in here and actually do something, but the intent is that we'll have it set up. We will have a true studio that is just ours. No one else will enter unless we have guests. And we won't have to set up this whole setup every time we do this. So that'll be really nice. So
yeah, place looks great.
Thanks.
It's going to keep looking greater as more work
gets done.
Hopefully
by the end of today, it looks a whole lot greater than it does now, but we're getting there. So.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
I figured when you texted me to say, what do you want to talk about? Coincidentally, I had taken a spill at the gym that day, which, as you saw, was not that bad. Maybe I'll find a way to plug it in here. I don't know. But I was doing box jumps, which I haven't done in a long time. So I'm already kind of like psyching myself out. So I threw my camera up, which I don't know when the last time was I recorded myself at the gym. Probably the last time I posted a reel on our Instagram was, which was 6 months ago. And I put my camera up to see how much I was clearing the box by to give me some confidence to go to the next 30-inch box on the 24. And I'd already done 3 rounds perfectly. And I was like, I'm going to check this last one. And I toe caught the edge of the box. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, like, I just got up and kept finishing my box jumps. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when I was younger, probably even up until like 5 years ago, I would say, I always felt like if I made a mistake in any setting, specifically in a place where I should be not making mistakes in the gym, on the volleyball court, whatever, which I guess I wasn't on the volleyball court 5 years ago. It feels like I was. But, you know, when you see if someone misses a serve and they're like, oh, my shoulder, like, you know, just things like that where you have to always explain why you made the mistake. And I think whoever's doing those things thinks that by explaining it away that people who are watching are like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, she's still fine, you know, whatever. Doesn't make you look bad. But I think the reality is that, like, in a setting, especially in a sports setting or especially in a gym setting where you're jumping at, like, sometimes your foot's not going to go all the way and you're going to catch, like, I've seen a million CrossFit videos, people destroying their shins on the boxes. Now, I think some of those videos, those people are jumping for the first time and probably should have done a softer box. I don't know. But you see this stuff happen all the time. And I think you look way more confident and like professional or whatever it is that you're trying to exude when you just keep moving forward. Because in professional sports, when you look at the highest level or whatever that is, those people know that mistakes happen. They're not embarrassed by it because they know it happens and they just move on. So I think just the idea of like not worrying. I think I'm getting deep into the whole idea of like thinking that other people see you do it and making a judgment versus you already judging yourself because your toe caught the box. But even more so, or maybe equally as important, just the ability to like snap back into it, not let that throw you off and charge forward with whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, it's I remember you telling me about the video before you sent me the video. Then I saw it. I was like, well, that's not that.
It wasn't. Once I watched it back again, I was like, it wasn't that bad.
Far more entertaining. But
like falling my face.
Yeah. Something, a real wipeout.
If you're going to call it a wipeout, you better really wipe out.
But one, I think that in that sense, how many people are actually watching you do box jumps?
Right.
You know,
or who actually cares if they are watching.
Whereas maybe in a performance setting, you know, all eyes are on you, kind of, maybe. That's where it comes back to, one, the, like, Michael Gervais' book, First Rule of Mastery, and he talks about the fear of others' opinions and how that's so debilitating and crippling, because it keeps us from being all in on that moment right there. And so I think that's where training the ability to flush a play or an event, whatever, a mistake, or even something good, so that you're just all in with everything you've got right here, right now, this box jump, this pitch, whatever, then that's where you're going to be able to compete fully, or perform to your capabilities. But we want to drag the previous into the present. And it's interesting how most of the time we just drag the negative into the present.
For sure.
Like, we don't drag, like,
or if you drag the positive, it's like it's very temporary until
like,
oh, we killed that team last time, and in the second you're tied or you're down a point, it's like, oh no. Right? Like, it doesn't last. But the negative can last a really long time.
Yep. And that's even sometimes we drag something positive into the current, it's feeling pressure to have to do it again.
Yeah.
Or, but I think that sense of having to be perfect, make no mistakes, like that's just not reality for anyone in anything. And, but we want to be perceived as flawless or perfect, by people that we don't even know. Like,
at all.
How many people in that gym that day do you even know?
Not
their
even
name?
A handful.
And so the ability to,
maybe,
like,
a handful. I have some friends.
I'm sure you have all the friends you ever want. But I did think, like, little trip up, boom, kept going.
Yeah.
Like, which,
well, my thought is, in something like that, where, like, if I trip up again and I actually do land in my face this time, like, I'm hurt. So I think that's a minimal, like, potential threat situation versus, like, you know, I don't know, someone in the military who's doing some sort of exercise or some, like, other, I don't know, a base jumper. Like, you can't worry. Otherwise, it could be your life, or it could be your head, or it could be a broken bone or whatever. It's like, I think we just have to remember, it's not, we get so hung up on, what do they think? What it's, and we don't even know who they is half the time. We can't even say who that might be. And the reality is of what actually we need to push forward and actually pursue and achieve next, rather than harping on that.
Yeah. And that's being able to, like, fully be in the moment, present, whatever. I know everybody talks about be in the moment, be present, all the time. But if on this rep or in this play or in this presentation, like, if you're just there to perform as well as you can without the distracting thoughts of what are other people thinking? What are they thinking after I just made a mistake?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you watch, heck, I was watching the World Series Game 7, and there's a ground ball to shortstop Mookie Betts, and he talks about, like, he was really anxious and nervous, and so when the ball is hit to him, he had been, like, doing this, like, self-talk kind of mantra, you know, be nasty, be nasty, be nasty, and you know, he completed a double play to win the World Series. So it's interesting that even, I mean, he's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's unbelievably accomplished and talented. But there he is. He's still having to deal with performance anxiety and nerves. And, you know, the situation is overwhelmingly impactful. You know, it's Game 7 World Series. Tens of thousands of people in attendance. Millions watching from all over the world. But that's the stuff you can't think about.
Right.
You just have to, and that's not natural. So you have to train it. And I'm going to guess maybe the fact that we talk about all this kind of stuff all the time, and you've evolved from,
yeah,
like you have a different mentality.
I used to be very consumed with what people thought of me on the volleyball court, in everyday life. That was a constant thought, and I don't know another day for where I think all that came from. But I remember vividly in college games, like where my boyfriend's family would sit. I would start from the back left, and they were really close to me. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't even remember what the thoughts were, but I was hyper aware of who was sitting where, who was watching me, how I reacted, if I succeeded or if I failed, or if I yelled a curse word, who heard it or who didn't hear it. Like, I just remember being so hyper aware. And I knew at the time it was distracting, but I don't think I realized how much it impacted my play, right? Like, distraction versus the actual impact on it. I don't think I had a clue until looking back now. I'm like, oh my God, I was so overly consumed with that, with those thoughts that, and I think also our perception of like what maybe a specific person views us as or thinks about us is oftentimes very wrong as well.
Yep.
So we act a certain way, and sometimes you end up putting your foot in your mouth, you're at an egg in your face kind of deal where it's like, oh, I think I made myself look worse than trying to make myself look good for that person, because that was never their perception of me the whole time. So it's a huge load lifted off me to be less hyper aware of all the people who are actually not judging me when it's all said and done, right? But I wish I had had today's mindset when I play, because I think it would have been but you know, it's easy to say like, oh, I wish I'd been more involved as a coach earlier on in my career. I wish I'd been more involved, yep, as a person or as a mom or like as a wife in my relationship. It's amazing, we've been married 10 years now, and like I said to someone, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I was like, I finally have figured out how to argue successfully back with him, like rather than, like, and not that that's like I'm proud of arguing, but like figuring out how, what the communication style looks like, who's going to act what way at what point in the conversation, whether it's an argument or if it's a serious conversation or it's just something fun and light. Like, you learn how to carry yourself, you learn how to handle other people in a different way, more confidently or with better expectations or not. And I think that's just one of those things that, like, I could sit here and be like, oh man, like I would have been such a better player if I hadn't worried about my boyfriend's parents watching me serve, not even the man that I'm married to today, right? Like, doesn't matter. Not that it would either way, but like I could harp on that, but I can also say, hey, I still had a great time, a lesson learned, and look how far I've come now. And I'm proud. And I hope that 15 years from now, I can look back and say, man, I thought really had it together today. And, you know, look at me now kind of thing. So it's an ever evolving process. When I went and spoke at Campbell at the Women's Empowerment Dinner, I guess it was 2 years ago now, I was sort of talking about confidence, and I was saying to the girls in the room, like, I think it's important that when you start lacking confidence in one area, to go back to the place that you know you have confidence. And like, for me, that's in the gym. Like, I'm aware of who's around me, but like, I know when I'm in there that I'm doing my thing and I'm doing it for me and I'm enjoying it and I'm confident in that space. So if I'm having a bad day somewhere else, I know that when I get there, that's going to be my happy place, my calm place. I don't view the gym as a stress reliever at all. It's not like, I just go there because I am like in a good headspace when I'm there most of the time. And so I think that helps, you know, when you're feeling like you're struggling somewhere else, having that sort of home base to go back to, helps me have, you know, remember that I've got confidence somewhere if it's lacking elsewhere.
Nice. And that is like, one, no one is confident across the board. Like, confidence, you know, comes and goes depending on the activity. But also the whole worrying about what other people think sucks all the fun out of what we're doing. So it's one thing if, you know, we're worrying about it like from a job performance standpoint, but if so much of it, you know, we're playing a game that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Like, it would suck a lot of the fun out of it for me.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
That's, well, I mean, same for me as a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's one of the, I still, Terry Pettit, he wrote this book, Talent and the Secret Life of Teams, and he was the volleyball coach at Nebraska. He's in the Hall of Fame. Court's named after him there. But he talked about, like, job one, no matter what level you're playing volleyball, it's supposed to be fun, whether it's in middle school, rec, or in the Olympics. Yeah. Like, this is, should be fun. And when we rob ourselves of that, it's, one, we're not going to play better doing that.
Then why are you doing it then?
Worse. And then, like, why are you doing this in the first place? Yeah. Turning this up, death march. So, I thought the topic was interesting. Yeah. Just based on something like that. But it's, you know, it's possible to have something like that affect you.
I think it was noticeable for me, whether it was a result of having these conversations with you or just, you know, evolving as a person, whatever. But when I went back and watched that video, I didn't even look up. Like, I just kept going. Yep. And that's, like, I fully expected to see me be like, or I didn't even know if I cracked a smile. I think I just, like, did it, got back down and went again. And that's, I mean, silly as it may sound to someone who doesn't understand this concept, but, like, that's big for me to be able to just move on, carry on, not feel emotionally impacted by anyone's response to that other than my own. And in fact, end up more confident of, like, I didn't give a crap about that and we're good. We're moving on. So when you asked what I wanted to talk about, I was like, well, no, that happened that day. I was like, oh, this crossed my mind. So I figured if I knew we could have a deep conversation about it, and figured that others might relate as well. So hopefully
mission
accomplished, man.
Good work. Good work.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.